Yep. It is a blessing to be able to preach unto you the word of God today. And I am excited about what the Lord has planned for us in this message. And so if you have your Bibles or you have a copy of the word, turn to Luke's gospel, the gospel of Luke in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, and then Luke. Luke's gospel chapter 12 is where we're going to be at. Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, we're going to start reading in verse 13. And so as we have come to the end of the year, it is the final day of 2023. And as we go forth into 2024, I want to share with you a message today that I hope not just encourages you, but exhorts you as you enter into a new year. And so one more time this year, let us stand and pay honor to God's word. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, and verse 13, we read, "And one of the company said unto him, Pastor, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. Verse 14, Jesus says unto him, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? Verse 15, he continues on, and he says unto him, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Verse 20, God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Verse 21 says, So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, I pray that our hearts and our ears will be open to what your word will have to teach us today. And as we enter into a new tomorrow, may you teach us. May you teach us old perspectives that we need to put into mind as we venture into a new year. For anyone here who does not know you as Lord and Savior, I pray that they will make that decision before it's eternally too late. And for us in this auditorium, as we listen to your word, may we be encouraged, but most of all, may we be transformed for your will and for your glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you so much for standing. As I've said earlier, we are at the last day of the year, and we are about to venture into a new year. And so the title of my message is pretty simple. New year, old perspective. New year, old perspective. So to kind of set where we're at, in Luke chapter 12, a crowd is gathering. And as the numbers increase, as this crowd begins to get bigger, Jesus begins to teach. First, he turns to his disciples and is teaching them. And then he's going to turn to the masses. And during this teaching, as we read, one of the listeners that's in the crowd approaches Jesus. The Bible does not tell us his age, but as we read the verses, as you heard the verses, you can see that from the context of Scripture, that this is a young man, possibly the youngest in his family. We know that he has one brother, possibly more than one brother, because he is asking Jesus to settle a dispute between him and his brother. Possibly the oldest, maybe someone who's younger than him, maybe someone's a little older, who knows. But we have a dispute that he is asking Jesus to settle. What kind of dispute is this? In verse 13, we see what kind of dispute this is. This is first and foremost a family dispute. This is a dispute between a brother and a brother. But it is not just a family dispute. It is a financial dispute. Because he goes to Jesus and he says, talk to my brother that he needs to divide the inheritance with me, or my share of the inheritance. So you may say, why is this important? What is it about this inheritance that is important? Well, in the Old Testament, it is talked about somewhat. In the books of Deuteronomy and Numbers, this inheritance law is described. You see, when a father dies, he leaves an inheritance for his children, particularly the sons. The law pertaining to the inheritance says that 2/3 of it is given to the eldest. We call this the double portion. And the rest, the 1/3, is given to the youngest. That this will be the case if there's 2 sons. But if there's more than 2 sons, then the law for the firstborn is still the same. The firstborn is to receive the double portion, 2/3 of the inheritance. And then the others, if there's more than one, the others would be given an equal share of the inheritance. They are to split it. So as this is a family dispute, as this is a financial dispute, what we see here is this is about an inheritance. But more than that, this is about an injustice, so to say. This brother has felt that he has been unfairly treated because his brother has taken more of the inheritance, and he is asking Jesus, hey, you need to fix this. Hey, you need to clean this up. I need your help. And so in verses 14 and 15, we see what Jesus says. Now, Jesus, being fully God and fully man, was not only qualified to settle this, but also had the right to refuse to settle this. This goes into thinking about the omniscience of God, his all-knowing. You see, Jesus already knew what was going on. Jesus already knew why this brother was approaching him and asking him, hey, talk to my brother and tell him to split the inheritance with me, or his share of the inheritance. Jesus already knew. And even though, again, that Jesus could have solved this dispute easily, Jesus takes this opportunity to teach one of his greatest lessons. And so as we go to verses 16 to 21, we have a parable. Now, a parable, of course, is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, or you could say that this is a simple story that helps illustrate and connect a spiritual lesson. And parables were some of the greatest teaching tools that Jesus used, and most of them involved human characters. And so as we come to this parable, we see that this parable that we're looking at, that we read, involves a human character. In verse 16, we see our character. First and foremost, this character is a rich man. We not only see that this character is a rich man, we see that this is a rich man who has a rich ground. We not only see a rich man who has a rich ground, but we see that this rich ground that he owns has produced a rich produce. And we know that it is a rich produce. We know that it is a rich ground because this is a rich produce that produces and produces and produces and produces until the rich man runs into a problem. And in verse 17, we are seeing something transformative. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a conversation with yourself? How many of y'all have said, you know what? I have had conversations with myself where it's been just me and me. I'll confess, those are some of the best and worst conversations that I have ever had. No one to disagree with me. Just someone to just completely say, you know what, that's good. I agree. And so as we see in verses 17 through 19, this rich man who has a rich ground and a rich produce runs into a problem. And the first words that we see in verse 17, it says, and he thought within himself. So this is the start of a two-way conversation between himself and himself. Let me see if I can illustrate this. So pretty much the conversation goes, okay, self, I have a problem. I have a produce that has produced too much. I am running out of room. What shall I do? How am I going to fix this? Well, self answers. He says, well, here's an idea. Those barns that you have built up, tear them down. Tear those barns down and build bigger ones. Build bigger barns so that you can store all of your produce, all of your income in these barns. And so that we see that he planned abundantly. He planned in response to the abundance that the produce produced. But he not only planned abundantly, he planned accordingly. He planned in accordance of the abundance of the produce that he produced. So, on paper, this doesn't look like a bad idea. It doesn't look like a bad idea. And in verse 19, we see that he says these words, and these are very important. It says, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Now, the Bible, again, not only encourages us to plan, but it exhorts us to plan. Our God is a planning God. For example, you think about creation. Every piece of creation, from where the seas would end to where the lands would be set, was planned by God. He had in his mind and in his heart where everything was supposed to be. And the Bible also encourages us to enjoy the gift of life. We see these words from Solomon. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 15 says, then I commended mirth, because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry. For that shall abide with him of his labor the days of his life which God have giveth him. And again Solomon says, go thy way. In Ecclesiastes 9:7, go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart. For God now accepted thy works. And so on paper, we see that this is not a bad idea. What the rich man did was not a bad idea. But we get to verse 20, and we've run into a problem, because we're introduced to another character. Verse 20 says, But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast possessed? There are several things that we see here that I want to point out. First of all, we see a disgraceful distinction. We see the words, thou fool. There are only a few times where the word fool is used in Scripture and is in Scripture. The fact that Jesus calls someone a fool in this context is not only shocking but audacious, and yet he is the only one with the authority to do so. We see a disgraceful distinction, but not only that, we see a definite date. He says, thou fool, this night, not next week, not tomorrow, not next month, not next year, but this night. It is a definite date. We see a definite date, a disgraceful distinction, but more than that, a divine disruption. This man made a plan. And yet this plan got interrupted divinely in this parable. He says, tonight your soul shall be required of thee. In other words, you're going to die. And then we also see a divine discussion. You see, now God asked him a question. He says, you fool, your soul is going to be required of you tonight. And then those things that you have stored, those things that you have produced, who's going to get them? Who's going to own the things that you have saved up? But again, we look back and we say, you know what? He planned well. He planned abundantly. He planned in response to the abundance of the produce. He planned accordingly. He planned in accordance. So we think, why was this man called a fool? Why was this man called a fool when he planned abundantly, when he planned accordingly, when he planned so well? Why was this man called a fool? While he planned abundantly and while he planned accordingly, I'm going to give you two more A's. One, he planned apathetically. He planned without any care or concern for the eternal. Because in this two-way conversation, it was just him and him. God was not a part of this conversation. God was off in the distance. God didn't even exist. He planned without care or concern for the eternal, for the spiritual. But also, he planned alone. This was a two-way conversation between him and him. So it was just him. God was not involved in this. He planned this without God. And if we look further as to why this man was called the fool, you say, what is a fool? Well, the best definition of that is in Psalm 14, verse 1. Bible says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool had said in his heart, there is no God. A fool is one who lives as if God does not exist. He thinks without God. He plans without God, and therefore, he lives without God. And this verse 21, Jesus says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. One thing I noticed as I studied this, the Bible says that this man was rich, but he was not righteous. This man was rich, but he was not righteous. You see, he was financially blessed, but spiritually he was bankrupt. Spiritually, he was bankrupt. And it was one man who had to learn this, Solomon. Solomon gets to the end of his life. And this is why we have the book of Ecclesiastes, because this king, this man, chased after all the things of the world. And he gets to the end of his life, and the conclusion of his book was fear God and keep his commandments, because this is the whole duty of man. So you say you've explained this parable. What is the lesson that I want us to get? What is the principle that I want us to get to take into 2024? And since 2024 is tomorrow, this is the way I am going to paint it. Don't leave today and enter into tomorrow without God. Don't leave today and enter into tomorrow without God. Because you see, if you decide to live as if God does not exist, then you will think and plan as if God does not exist. Again, God is not against planning. He isn't. But do not plan without him. Do not live without him. Don't leave today and enter into tomorrow without God. And if you decide to live as if God does not exist, you will think and plan as if God does not exist. How can I help explain this? Well, the book of James, one more passage, the book of James, chapter 4, verse 13 to 17, says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will. Remember those words in verse 15. If the Lord will. If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, I read this in other translations, so I want to read it to you from the New Living Translation. It says, look here, you who say, today or tomorrow we are going to a certain town and we'll stay there a year. We will do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It is here a little while, then it is gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this and that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own pretentious plans, and all such boasting is evil. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. Remember, I said, remember the words, if the Lord wills. That should be at the forefront of our thinking and of our plans. Our lives are in God's hands, and therefore we must remember that He is sovereign and He is in control. The Apostle Paul, he understood this. There were several times that he mentioned this statement, Lord willing, or if the Lord wills. Acts 18:21 was an example when he told the church, I am going to come back to you, Lord willing. And he said the same thing to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 4:19 and in 16:7, Lord willing, I will come to you shortly. I will come to you again, Lord willing. We must remember that our lives are in God's hands. And therefore, we must remember that He is sovereign and He is in control. But not just that. Our plans, not just our lives, but our plans are in God's hands. But they must never and should never overrule His overall plan and will for our lives. Simply put, what is His will? First and foremost, is for you to be saved. It is for you to know Him and have a personal relationship with Him. Bible reminds us that God is not willing that none should perish. Not willing that none of us should perish. He is long-suffering and patient that each and every one of us should come to repentance, to a saving knowledge of Him. It is His will for your life for you to know His Son as Lord and Savior. It is His will that you be Spirit-filled, that you be filled with the Spirit. It says that in Ephesians, that you be Spirit-filled, but it's also His will that you be sanctified, that you be separate, that you live in holiness, to be saved, to be Spirit-filled, to be sanctified. That is His plan and that is His will. And so, yes, our plans are in God's hands, but they should never overrule His overall plan and will for our lives. So you say, is that the only principle you want us to take into 2024? Here's a few others. Life is about who owns you and not what you own. Show of hands, has anybody ever rented a car before? Has anybody ever rented during the holidays? Big tip, don't do it. Don't do it. If you want to add anxiety onto your anxiety, in regards of you already have anxiety of the Christmas gifts and what you shopped for, don't go renting a car, especially during the holidays. Don't make my mistake. That was what I did. This past Christmas, last week, renting a car, go see my family, and all I kept saying to myself was, Brennan, this is not your vehicle. Brennan, this is not your vehicle. Please take care of it. I rented from them. My rule was, do not eat or drink in this car. Because at the end of the day, I've got to clean it up and I've got to return it to them as is. Fill up the tank, make it nice and neat for the next person who has to rent it. But I was telling my family, this is a rental. This is a rental. And for some reason, it seemed like all of nature heard that it was a rental, because there was at least four deer that I saw, and I'm saying, please don't jump out in front of this car. I was terrified. I was anxious. But I am driving this car. Here's how I want to point this to. I was driving this car under the banner of Enterprise, and at the end of my rental period, I am returning it to Enterprise, where I will have to account for how I treated the rental during my time with it. So it pays to remember where you got it from. I remember that I got this car from Enterprise. This is not my car. I have to return it to them and then account for how I treated it. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 reminds us that we are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live. Yet not I, but Christ lives within us. And the life that we live now, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. And Romans chapter 14 and verse 12 reminds us that each and every one of us will give an account before God. There will be a day that each and every one of us will stand before God and we have to give an account of our lives. You see, there is a heavenly enterprise, if I can use that picture. It's a heavenly enterprise that will be asking you to return the life that you have been given to live. You are living this life under the banner of his grace and mercy, and there will be a day where you will give an account for how you lived and treated this life. So it pays to remember where you got this life from. Remember that life is about who owns you and not what you own. But more than that, the next principle, life may not go like you planned. Now that may sound negative, but listen. Proverbs 16 and verse 9 tells us that a man's heart devises his ways. Proverbs 19 and verse 21 says there are many devices in a man's heart. But we see the Lord directed the steps. We see that nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that's going to stand. Now the Bible encourages us and exhorts us to plan. So you may ask the question, well, if the counsel of the Lord is going to stand and the Lord is going to be the one that directs our paths, then why should I plan if life may not go like we planned? Why should we? Even though the Bible encourages us and exhorts us to plan. As you go into 2024 and you may have your resolutions already there, your plans are already set up, my one overall encouragement is that you do not enter into tomorrow without God. That you plan well. But do so in light of this principle, that life is about living in and doing God's will. It is about living in and doing God's will. That is why we plan. Over the principle here that God, our lives and plans are in his hands. It should not stop us from planning. And as we enter into tomorrow, or if we enter into tomorrow with this perspective, while 2024 may not be a year without problems, I'm not going to sit up here and say that 2024 is going to be problem-free. That would be a lie. John 16:33, reminds us of Jesus' words. In this world, you're going to have trouble. You're going to run into afflictions. You're going to run into calamities. I am not going to stand up here and say that your 2024 is going to be a problemless year. But I will say, if you enter into tomorrow with this perspective, with these perspectives, that while it may not be a year without problems, it will be a year of productivity. You will grow. You will grow closer to God, stronger in your faith. But you may be sitting here on the last day of the year, and you're saying, Brandon, I blew it in 2023. If you're feeling like 2023 was a total year where you blew it, or you did not have the 2023 that you thought you were going to have, let me leave you with two verses and then we're going to pray. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. We confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then Lamentations chapter 3 verses 22 to 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Both, all three of those verses were not just true in 2023. They're also going to be true as we enter into 2024. Every day brings new mercies. Every day is an opportunity, even now, where we can come and we can confess our sins and know that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You do not have to enter into 2024 with regret, but you can enter into 2024 taking these principles and remembering these three verses, you can enter into 2024 with rejoicing and not regret. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for how you have been with us in 2023. And we are looking forward to what you are going to do in 2024. As we leave out of here,